You sit in your living room alone, Grace Parker, staring out the window, staring into the dusk that is deepening tonight. The room is growing dark, and it's quiet, too quiet. Every other night at this time, you would have turned on the lamps, and you'd be out in the kitchen starting dinner. Your husband, George, will be home in a few minutes, but tonight, you do not move. Tonight, you can only sit staring out the window, thinking. Thoughts of the past creep out from your memory, slow and dark, like the shadows growing in this room. And it all began so brightly 12 years ago when you married George Parker. Handsome, charming George. You were too much in love to think, and you resented your family asking questions. Of course, George hadn't had much of a home life with his mother and father separated. It was just one of those things. And for a man who hadn't attended church regularly to start going with you, that was good. Anyway, you were in love, and that was all that mattered. And then one evening, just after your honeymoon.
George, what's so interesting in that old ad section?
Hmm?
You aren't thinking of changing jobs.
I should say not. I'm set where I am, but listen to this. Receptionist, some typing, $250 a month.
Well?
Here's another one. Secretary, small office, full charge, $375 a month. How does that sound to you, honey?
You're kidding.
Well, you mean you were thinking of just staying home? Now you're kidding, honey.
No. I took it for granted. You said you liked children. So I just naturally thought...
Well, sure, honey. Sure I like children, but one thing at a time. There's no use tying ourselves down before we get off the ground. Look at this place. You wouldn't want to bring up a baby in this chicken coop.
I thought you liked our apartment.
Well, it's the best we can do on one paycheck. Well, for myself, I don't care. I'm thinking of you and our children. It isn't fair to kids to bring them up in a place like this. And I don't want you getting old and work-worn before you're 30. Now, look, I got it all figured out.
How?
Well, it's simple. You work for a year. We get some money in the bank. We pay down on a nice little house with a yard. Then we're all ready for our family. A year isn't long to wait, is it?
Well, all right, George. If you want it that way.
Well, I'll show you just how it's going to work. If you make, say, $350 a month, add that to what I'm making, and I'll probably get a raise.
So you went back to work, Grace Parker. It sounded so sensible, so reasonable. But it was a mistake, the first one. With careful management and trust in Providence, you could have had the down payment on the house with the yard before the baby learned to walk. But you didn't think of things like that. You wanted more than anything else to please George. And besides, he'd made you afraid of a future with only one paycheck. So you went back to work, and you earned $350 a month. But you hadn't figured on carfare and lunch money and new clothes you had to have for the office. And besides that, both you and George had to pay income tax. So at the end of the year...
I know I said just a year, honey, so it's going to take us a little longer than we expected. So we got to be sensible about this. We don't have any bank balance yet.
We never will at the rate we're going.
So how would it be if you stopped working?
I don't know where the money goes. We should draw up a budget, George.
Oh, that's a waste of red ink. Look at the way things happen, like the picture tube on the TV going out this month.
Well, I still don't see why we didn't get a new tube instead of a new set.
Oh, sure, sure. We could have had a patch job. Then the thing would nickel and dime us to death. This is the time to turn it in on a new model before it starts eating us up with repair bills.
Well, we ought to be able to save someplace. If you'd stop bringing home those old guns...
Well, my one relaxation. After I spend all day at that desk, I have to do something different or go crazy. You couldn't get along with a few less trips to the beauty parlor or a new dress just every other week, huh? You got to keep those office wolves whistling.
Of course, you have to buy I.W. Harper every time we entertain.
Okay. Okay, so we stop asking people over.
Oh, George. Darling, it's just that... Putting off our family this way. I suppose I'm getting anxious.
Well, You talk like you were Mrs. Methuselah. We've only been married a year.
But the way we're doing, it's not right.
Look, if it'll make you feel better, we'll set ourselves a goal. We decide to save so much, we get it, and then we start our family. It's simple, see? Let's say we save, how about $3,500?
Well, that does give us something definite.
I was reading in the paper just the other day, every couple should have $3,500 in the bank before the first baby. Now, that's the down payment on a house and something for emergencies. That makes sense, doesn't it?
Well, yes. I suppose there's no reason why we couldn't do it. But we're really going to have to watch expenses, George.
We will. And there's no awful rush, honey. We've got our whole life ahead of us. There's no point in getting tied down yet.
All right, George. I guess I was rushing things a little.
This was your second chance to take a stand, Grace Parker, and you let it slip by. You told yourself that you gave in because you wanted to keep peace in the family. You were getting to know George, and the knowledge was a worm of fear gnawing at your heart. If you pressed him too hard, he'd leave you. And deeper down, there lay another reason, which you wouldn't admit even to yourself. You wanted to keep the independence that came with your own paycheck. You loved the extras it bought. Only somehow, with the passing of every year, the extras became things you couldn't do without. The really good permanence. The second car for going to work and shopping and visiting. And the designer's suits. And you had to move to a bigger apartment with room for George's guns and your collection of books. And a new apartment meant new furniture. And there was the year you had that once-in-a-lifetime chance to take a tour of Europe with the Richardsons and share expenses. But there were moments in those years, Grace Parker, when you looked backward and forward and saw only more working days that began at 6 a.m. and lasted until midnight. Every morning before George got up, cooked the breakfast, packed two lunches. After he left, wash the dishes, make the beds, get yourself ready for the office. Work 8 hours at your desk, rush home, cook the dinner, wash the dishes. And in the evening, always sewing, mending, or other odd jobs. Often alone, because George was out with his friends. Saturday, clean the house, wash and iron, shop for groceries. Sunday, go to church. Alone. That was when the truth hit you like a blow, Grace Parker. In that hour each week when you knelt in the back of the church and bowed your head in your hands. No going up the aisle to communion for you. Not with the sin of this kind of childlessness on your soul. This was marriage, This was sharing. This was living. And now it was already the 12th anniversary of your wedding. George was late coming home that evening.
Hello, sweetheart. I know I'm late, but you won't throw the book at me when you see what I stopped for.
George, you already gave me a gift.
Ah, that old electric rotisserie. That was just to throw you off the track. Look here, what I got in this box. Well, not. Don't tell me you don't like it. This stole is not Tibetan moose or dyed bush rabbit. This is genuine blue fox.
I don't want it.
You don't want it?
No.
And now what's the matter?
I don't want a stole. I don't want a rotisserie.
What's eating you? Snap out of it, Grace. You've been carrying on like this for months. If you're sick or something, go see a doctor.
You know what I want.
What? Oh. Well, now, Grace, look.
George, we've been married 12 years. I'm 30 years old.
That's not 90.
I can't go on like this. You know what we've been doing is wrong. You settle it by not going to church at all. I can't do that.
Well, at least I'm not a hypocrite. And don't give me any of that holier-than-thou stuff. I never had to twist your arm. No. Honey, I shouldn't have said that. Now, don't look that way.
No, you're right. You're right. It takes two.
Now, don't cry like that, Grace. You'll make yourself sick. Look, maybe you're right. Maybe we have been skidding along. Time sort of gets by you. But we're going to change all that, I promise.
Oh, George, so many times.
But this time I mean it. Let's see, I think we've got... Yeah, we've got at least $2,900 in the bank. I got a couple of deals cooking. I'll close them right away. That should put us over the $3,500 mark. Grace, when I get that money, I'll put it right down on a house.
If I thought you meant that...
Cross my heart. Well, I'd swear it on a stack of Bibles. That's better. Big smile for George. Oh, everything's going to be all right, honey. Everything's going to be all right.
And it did seem that at last it was going to be all right. George's deals came through. And this last Tuesday, only 2 days ago, he had the $3,500 in the bank. Then he got busy reading house for sale ads. And you went to the doctor because you hadn't been feeling well for a long time. The doctor asked you to come back for more tests, and that worried you a little. But today, when you sat at the desk opposite him, he smiled briskly, and his voice was hearty.
Well, everything's fine, Mrs. Parker. Nothing to worry about.
Oh, I'm glad.
Just one thing we will have to take care of. It'll require some surgery.
Surgery? You mean I need an operation?
Well, it has to be done to avoid complications. But once it's over, you'll feel better than you have in years. You won't have any after effects. Except, of course, not being able to have children.
Not... No children? You don't mean I'll never be able to have children?
Why, yes. I'm sorry. Perhaps I shouldn't have put it so bluntly, but you have been married 12 years, so naturally...
That was at 3:30 this afternoon. And now you sit here, Grace Parker, waiting for your husband. You'll have to tell him. You had so many chances in the past 12 years to change all of this. And now it's too late. You could have let your faith strengthen your weak will. You could have exercised your God-given privilege of bringing new life into the world, watching it grow, feeling its love. Those children you might have had, you kept them waiting outside the door of your heart. So you sit here alone, your hands folded in your lap. Your lap is empty, and now it always will be.
This episode of The Hour of St. Francis, entitled My Lap is Empty, featured Jane Wyman as narrator. It was adapted for radio by J.T. Petey from an article by Gertrude Ray in Information Magazine. The cast included Peggy Weber and Vic Perrin. Music was by Bob Mitchell. My Lap is Empty was produced and directed by Father Hugh Noonan and has been brought to you by the Third Order of St. Francis. And now once again, Miss Wyman and the Peace Prayer of St. Francis.
Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. And where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And when there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in dying that we are born to eternal life.